This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
This is the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence. It's an inside look and the scientific facts in and around the world of medical cannabis. Now, here is your host, Ian Beckles.
Hello, everybody. This is Ian Beckles, and welcome back to the Cannabis Podcast. Everybody's been taking it with open arms and enjoying it to this point. And we are powered by Trulieve. And this podcast is really about bringing knowledge about cannabis to the masses, because, you know, cannabis is slowly becoming legal all around our country in different pockets. It's, we'll say, slightly legal here in Florida. You can do it legally, but there's still a little ways to go. But I'm just here to try to teach you guys about what's going on in our community and how this is growing and how we could benefit from this wonderful plant. And I've always said that, you know, I don't know everything, so I'm going to bring some knowledgeable people on with me. And this young man has about as much knowledge as I've run into, because, you know, I've seen him. I've done some shows with him at Magical Butter over there at Newport Richey. And I know this young man personally as well. We can say that his title is Weedologist, maybe. I don't know if it has that on his business card, but we have Chef Joey Galliano. What's up, brother?
How you doing, man? Thank you very much for having me on the show, Ian.
No, good to have you, brother. What's your official title?
Director of Culinary Operations.
that's good stuff.
Sounds funny.
It sounds funny. It really does, but it's beautiful. Now, so how long have you been? First of all, we sat and talked about cannabis a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And let everybody know the first time you attempted cannabis, because this is the earliest number that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Well, I was it's something, you know, that I'm not very proud of. It's not like a badge of honor.
Okay.
But I was definitely around some. Well, my cousin was a delinquent. He was just into some things that he shouldn't have been into early.
Sure.
And I looked up to him.
Yeah.
I really did. I looked up to him. He was my cousin. He was my blood, and I loved him. You know, even though he was a knucklehead, I still looked up to him. He was older than me. He was 5 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
He was like one of my heroes. So for my birthday.
Which birthday?
2 years before my 10th birthday.
Lord have mercy. So on your 8th birthday.
Yeah, for my 8th birthday.
First time you attempted.
Correct. Yeah. I do not condone that or tell anybody that they should ever do that.
I'm just saying. 8-year-olds listening. 8-year-olds ain't listening to the Cannabis Podcast.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, thank God. Yeah, but yeah, 8 years old. 8 years old was the first time I had, you know, inhaled cannabis. The first, didn't have any idea how it was going to affect me. Mm. I just, you know, I loved the way it smelled. Mm-hmm. I love, you know, the terpenes. I didn't even know what the hell terpenes were.
Sure, but you
I just
them.
Knew the funk was just beautiful, man. And as soon as my cousin sparked it up.
Yeah.
It blew my mind. And this is back, you got to remind, this is back in the 70s, man.
Yeah. See, now, how old are you, if I may ask?
I'm going to be 49 later this month.
Okay, you're young. I'm going to be, so you're July what?
July 31st.
I'm July 20th.
Nice.
So you're a Leo. I'm going to be 51 this year, so we're both young and spry.
Yes.
Listen to the difference. You started at 8. I started at 35.
Woo!
That's a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
Now, I found that when I started to, you know, to smoke it, it expanded my mind to some things that I was really closed-minded to, like art, a lot of different things. So your mind's never been closed. Your mind's your mind's been open since almost day one, man.
I gotta tell you, I know that there's a lot of doctors who don't want anybody before the age of 20 consuming anything like cannabis because the mind hasn't developed.
Okay.
And I can completely understand that. But for me, man, it was my go-to. I didn't have my first beer until my first beer was 18 years old.
Oh, that's late.
I was not into alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely into cannabis as a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
When I started cooking with cannabis, I was at the ripe old age of 14.
Good for you. So you were cooking with cannabis at 14. So when you're cooking with cannabis at 14, you're cooking for yourself, you're cooking for your people.
I'm cooking for myself and then, you know, trying to figure out what the hell is going on. And then, of course, you know, my friends. And then, you know, and the odd thing is, and I told you this, the first thing I put cannabis in I didn't even think brownies. I didn't think anything like cookies. I went straight to my Italian roots, man.
Really?
Homemade pasta, tomato sauce, pizzas.
Beautiful.
Yeah. That's the first thing I put it in. And then when I figured out, oh my God, this is freaking great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a delicious additive.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Now, you know, once again, cannabis has become part of my life. I haven't exactly put it into the cooking in my life yet, although I'm going to do it. There's no doubt about that. Cannabis has come a long way. Say when you're 14 years old and you're cooking with cannabis, are you just throwing cannabis leaves in there at 14? What are you doing exactly?
The science, now, mind you, this is 1983, 1984.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, you know, 30 plus years ago. And the fact that, I mean, there was no internet back then. Cable was still pretty young. And to find research, to research on this plant was so freaking difficult. It's not like now where you can just go to the internet. So I didn't have any of the knowledge. I wasn't able to acquire any of the knowledge that I did later on in life. So pretty much what I was doing is I would grab my flower. I'm asthmatic. So okay. Eating it made more sense to me.
Eating it, sure.
And what I was trying to figure out, because it was hit or miss.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I would get a big punch and sometimes I wouldn't. I didn't know what decarboxylation meant. I didn't know how to activate cannabis. I didn't know heat or age did it. Mm-hmm. I was just trying to grab any book, read as many High Times magazines as I can. And it was literally grab the flour, grind it up, put it in the food.
And that's it. That and it's definitely not, you're not getting to the utmost of what you can get from the plant.
Correct.
And, you know, you talk about Googling and getting knowledge. You know, it's to the point where now you are the knowledge now. You know, you should be the one passing on the knowledge to everybody else. And as far as the cooking goes, how are you as a, do you have degrees in cooking or you just love to cook? Are you a certified chef? I love to cook myself. But are you a decorated chef? How do you have any certificates?
I do not have certificates. I have 34 years of actual knowledge.
Okay.
Practical knowledge. I started off in kitchens when I was very young. I was 9 years old. I was doing prep work in my uncle's kitchen.
Sure.
Excuse me. Out in Long Island. Excuse me. Franklin Square, Long Island. Shout out to anybody out there in Franklin Square.
No doubt. No doubt.
My uncle was an Italian businessman.
You're Italian?
Yeah, slightly.
I didn't notice. And you're from New York?
Yeah, I know, right?
I didn't notice.
But my uncle owned a restaurant, and I begged him, you know, just to put me in the kitchen, just let me do prep work. And of course, he, you know, he's my dad's first cousin.
Sure, yeah.
He's like, whatever you want. I was his favorite nephew. At least that's what he told me, and I believed him.
That's what he said. Exactly.
So I started cooking, you know, at like 9, 10 years old in kitchens and just never stopped.
Listen, this the real talk is, like, I've seen people with certificates and accolades, and I've seen dudes just been balling in the streets. Sometimes a cat's just been balling in the streets, can eat up accolades. Because, you know, when you get a kid out of college that's, you know, has a certificate, and you know some cat has been in the line of fire, so to speak, for years and years, that dude knows how to handle himself in tough times. That kid out of college sometimes, where now they have rooms they can go into and cry if they need to cry.
Yeah, I'm not crying.
I'm not mean either, bro. When it gets tough, the time gets tough, you gotta be ready to roll. But so you learned from the kitchen, been in the kitchens forever. Been cooking with cannabis since you were 14 years old and doing it kind of bootleg, old school type of way back when you're 14. But, you know, when you talk about, see, once again, I've never really messed around with cooking with it. I've had edibles, obviously, and I've had other people's food. But when you talk about decarboxylation, which is a wonderful word.
Yes.
What are we speaking of? But decarboxylation is basically the heating of the cannabis, correct?
Well, what decarboxylation is a big ass word for activation.
Okay.
All of your cannabinoids, CBD, CBN, THC, and by the way, it's Delta 9 THC.
Okay.
All of them have a carboxylic acid link to it. It's THCA, CBDA, CBNA, CBCA. All of them have that A on, that acid onto it. So either through heat or time, your cannabis will push off that carboxylic acid. It's the weakest chain on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like something we were talking about this earlier, last time I was here. Back in the days, Colombian Gold was the big strain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you take Colombian Gold and you let it sit for 3-4 months and it ages, it literally turns red, and now you have Panama Red. It's the same strain.
Wow.
It's literally just aged. And what happens is it decarbs over that time.
So it gets stronger.
Correct. Well, it's just activating. It's okay. Pushing off the carbolic acid.
Look
anytime down. You ingest something or anytime you inhale something, when you're inhaling, 380 degrees is when cannabis, the carbolic acid is pushed off. And your THC is being inhaled.
Sure.
So when you smoke it, when you hit a vapor pen, it heats it up, it pushes off that carbolic acid, and now you have THC instead of THCA.
Well, we're trying to teach people to do it the right way as we go forward. A lot of people have been doing it the wrong way or the only way at the time. Now we have, you know, choices, and, you know, my people are Trulieve. And, you know, when you talk about they're not able to sell buds yet.
Not yet.
And but it's coming. It's going to be around the corner. It's not going to be too far away. But when you talk about Trulieve, you talk about tinctures, which I have some right here. Comes in a little vial that looks like a syringe without the needle part. So how much you believe would be in here? Would you know off the top of your head?
That's going to be somewhere between 900 and 950 milligrams in that vial.
Okay.
So it's normally between 93 and 98% pure.
Okay.
And a distillate, most of the times what they do is the way it's processed, a lot of the terpenes are removed, which give the strain specific strains.
There you go. You got it.
Certain words, man. Come on. I'm from Brooklyn, man. Specificity. I'm like, that's just too freaking hard.
Yeah, no doubt.
But certain strains, the terpenes are what gives the extra little additive effect.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about it, your nose is picking up about 70 to 90% of everything you taste.
Okay.
The nose also has the only part of the brain that's exposed. So your terpenes, your aromatherapy, they really do have an effect on you. And what happens in distillates, they'll have either sativa, indica, or hybrid.
Correct.
Which is the dominant. But the strain, the terps, unless they actually add the terpenes back, it's just normally sativa, indica, hybrid.
Okay. So when they talk about buds, you have to, I won't ever remember that word, decarboxylate.
Decarboxylate, activate.
Yeah, you got to activate.
This is activate.
Yeah, you have to activate the buds, but when you have a tincture or terpene?
Oh, that's distillate.
When you have distillate, which is the equivalent to an oil.
Correct.
What do you do to this to get this activated to put into food?
Okay, so now if it's not already activated, because some companies have them activated, some companies have them non-activated.
Do you have to ask them if it's activated?
Yes, and they'll let you know.
Okay.
Almost all of the companies right now will have activation or unactivated. But if it's not activated, you simply put it into a airtight container, put it into the middle of your oven, 250 degrees. For 25 minutes to 30 minutes.
Okay.
And take it out, let it cool completely.
This oil here?
That oil. Now, 250 degrees.
How are you going to put this in your oven?
Oh, easy. So now, the company that I formerly worked for,
yes.
Magical Butter,
yeah.
has an incredible thing called the D-Car Box.
I've seen that.
And I love them. Big shout out to Magical Butter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So what it is, it's a airtight silicone box that can be heated up to 500 degrees, so it's completely oven safe. What you would do is you would put that distillate inside something like that, seal it nice and tight, put it right in the middle of the oven, 250, 25 to 30 minutes, take it out, let it cool completely. Now you have a fully activated product.
Wow, that I didn't know. Now, you know, once again, I'm with my people at Trulieve, and I'm trying to figure out how ways to cook with this. The hard part is, if this is, you said, 900 milligrams probably.
Correct.
The hard part is going to be to figure out serving size and how much is going to be going in every serving. So that's when you have to become a mathematician.
Correct.
Do you have a special equation for that kind of stuff?
It's real easy. Let's just say that is 90% pure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 90%. That's 900 milligrams. So what you want to do is you want to break that down into like grains of rice. So 1/10 of 1 milligram would be 9 milligrams.
Okay.
Excuse me, 90 milligrams.
Okay.
90 milligrams. So you have 90 milligrams in each 1/10 of those. Now, a lot of times they have these little lines on those.
Mm-hmm.
If not, you can literally get these very sensitive digital scales, and you just weigh it out. And the best part about it is if it's activated, you can put it in each individual meal
okay.
so that like yourself, I'm going to, me and you, we might need 100, 200 milligrams mm-hmm. for us to get where we need. Somebody else might only need 10 milligrams.
Correct.
With something like that, you'll be able to dose them correctly so that you can get the person 10 milligrams that they want. You can get another person 25, 50 milligrams if they want, and you can get somebody like us 100, 125 milligrams because that's what we want.
Beautiful.
So the beautiful part about it is with something like that, you can literally, just by weighing it, get everybody the individual dosage that they need.
That they need specifically.
Correct.
That's wonderful. We're talking to Chef Joey Galliano, who has been cooking with cannabis pretty much his whole life. I've been dealing with a few different cannabis companies. How hip are you to the cannabis TV shows with cooking? I mean, I'm a Bon Appetit guy. You know, I'm a Viceland, Action Bronson type of guy.
Love Action Bronson. Yeah,
I'd like to hang out with Action Bronson.
I want to cook for Action.
I think if we could, if Action Bronson saw this where we are right now, Flavor of Tampa Bay and Dignitary Headquarters, he want to come here and hang out with us.
No doubt, man.
There's no doubt in my mind.
And I would cook him
from
some
New York,
food.
Dude. From New York.
Yeah, he's from Queens, baby.
Yeah, I was with the Jets for a minute.
G-town.
I could bring that out. You know, I was with the Jets with Bill Parcells for a little quick minute.
He was the chef of the Mets for a minute.
Action Bronson was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
I know he's a serious chef. I mean, I knew that.
Yeah, he went to culinary school. I believe he went to CIA.
So really, good for him. But I know he's a serious chef. And now he's just making money.
Well, yeah, man.
I ain't mad at him.
He got the skill with the lyrics, man.
No doubt. When he can spit, man.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I heard him and Ghostface.
Compliments to the chef.
Yeah.
The baby lamb was perfect.
I heard him and Ghostface had a little problem. They good?
Oh, I'm sure they're good, man.
Yeah.
Come on.
But they sound like.
They do.
He sounds a little bit like Ghostface.
He does. But, I mean, I think that's, if anything, man, that's more respect
it's
for
respect,
Ghostface
exactly.
than anything, man. Ghostface is a badass.
Exactly.
Now, I love him.
Yeah, me too, Wu-Tang. Now, Bon Appetit, I don't know the Indian guy's name. I should. It's a show that I watch religiously. And they'll have some kind of a chef at a restaurant who does or maybe does not normally cook with marijuana. And they'll bring him into his house, and he'll open up his pantry. And, you know, if you're into marijuana, you are going to get a marijuana boner when you open up that pantry.
Yeah.
That pantry is something now. I mean, I can just imagine the smell in there would be intoxicating. So have you actually done, like, five-course meals and stuff for big wigs with marijuana before?
Yes, we have. A couple years ago, excuse me. I got to do, very lucky to work with a chef out of Aspen, Colorado, mm-hmm. at a restaurant called Cash Cash. Excuse me. And we did, for the X Games, we did a five-course meal,
mm-hmm.
and we paired the cannabis infusion with the food, with the wines.
Oh, perfect.
And then we had a nug, and every person who went there mm-hmm. got their own packs, and each meal, each course,
mm-hmm.
they got the flower. So they got to hit the flower and the vaporizer so they can taste the flower.
Wow.
Then they got to eat the food, which had the cannabis in it, the exact strain that they just hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got to taste the wine. And that was freaking incredible. We got to do that. I was lucky enough to take over Michael Jordan Steakhouse and the Intercontinental.
Really?
Did a kitchen takeover in Chicago, which was absolutely freaking awesome.
Was it, now, you did a cannabis-infused meal? In Chicago? On the down low.
On the down low.
On the down low, okay.
No,
okay.
Yes.
See, what states can you do a full-blown cannabis-infused meal right now? Washington,
you could definitely
Portland.
Do it in Washington, Colorado.
Portland's open, isn't it?
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure if it's completely.
I'm not sure.
How far is Florida away from that happening?
I think 2 years.
Really?
I think
that quickly?
Years. Yeah. And the reason being is because there are so many people that want cannabis in their life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with dispensaries now, and I got to tell you, man, it is absolutely amazing to see the average age of the person that walks in is between 35 and 65.
I know.
And I think that the younger generation right now, they don't realize, A, how easy it is to get your card, and B, the fact that they'll deliver to your freaking house.
Yeah, they will.
With the 24 hours.
Legally. Yeah. I don't think they quite get that.
And you cannot get concentrates out in the street that are going to be guaranteed to be as pure and as clean as the ones that are coming out of the dispensaries.
Mm-hmm.
All of the dispensaries in Florida, all of the companies, they're really putting out the highest quality possible.
Yeah.
And if they're not, they're not going to survive.
No, and my people are truly, even I'm holding, like I said, I'm holding some right here. And the part that we, that maybe you know or don't know about, when, you know, when you're smoking something, it's easy to immediately see how it's affecting you.
Correct.
And when you're talking about edibles, and I've seen it, and I've been part of it, where the dosage was too much. I've seen it. It can be hectic.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when you're dealing with a Trulieve and a company who's measuring things exactly, it's going to put you in a better place, because when you're kind of going willy-nilly and hit or miss, sometimes it could turn out poorly.
Yeah, and that's the beautiful thing about the dispensaries and getting your cannabis from a reputable company. The fact that they've tested everything.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have pesticides. The fact that you'll be able to know exactly what dose you're getting. And that's the key. Now, inhaling, can I just speak something about real quick?
Please.
On the difference between inhaling?
Yeah.
So when you inhale your cannabis, you get that big pop like we were talking about. But your peak medicine, that feeling of euphoria, that feeling of being out of pain or mm-hmm. whatever you're taking the cannabis for, it's the peak medicine is only going to last between 10 and 60 minutes. In most cases, between 10 and 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, it's a steep drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what you're getting, but you're only getting it for a very short amount of time.
Sure.
When you eat cannabis and you start to dial in and you know what doses you need, you're looking at a peak medicine period of 2 to 8 hours. It might take 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half to come on. But once it comes on, it doesn't stop. And it keeps you at that happy place for between 2 and 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're ingesting it and you've taken too much, that's a really bad thing, because now you got 2 to 8 hours and you're pretty much holding on.
I'm struggling.
You're holding on.
Now, I've heard from a couple people in a couple shows that if you're at a point where you've ingested too much THC, to actually put some CBD in your body, because that kind of evens it out. Have you heard that?
What it does, what the science is the science is saying that since CBD is such a great anti-anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and you're having an anxiety attack from having too much THC inside your body, that anti-anxiety from the CBD will help alleviate and relieve you of that over-hyper
mm-hmm.
anxiety, anxious, oh my God, I can't get out of my skin.
Sure.
Another great thing that I have people swearing by is large doses of vitamin C, ascorbic acid.
All right.
I'm talking like a glass of orange juice backed with a glass of Emergency.
Yeah, at that moment, that might be quite the tall task
to get all that
stuff.
And I have other people who say by smelling black pepper. I've never done that. I do know that when you eat black pepper, it increases the bioavailability of cannabis. So I definitely wouldn't suggest eating black pepper.
Really?
But it might help with the anxiousness. It might make you sneeze so damn much that it resets your brain. I'm not sure.
No.
I have people that swear by it. I just know the science
mm-hmm.
on it is not conclusive. So I'm definitely not going to say this is the best way. I do know that CBD is absolutely phenomenal because of the anti-anxiety effects that it has.
Mm-hmm.
It'll really help calm you down.
Anti-everything. Anti-inflammatory. Yeah. There's a lot of antis on there, man.
Yeah, man.
I'm finding out. Yeah.
It's incredible.
No doubt about
and
that.
And THC, man. Oh, man. I'll get it. THC is so incredible, man. Yeah.
THC is your friend. I mean,
it is.
And we had I did the Mike Calter show last week, and I brought on my girl from Trulieve, and she was talking about the different things that CBD and THC help. Somebody with cerebral palsy calls up, and she says, "You know, well, I'm taking." I said, "How many drugs are you taking?" And she rambled off 8 drugs that kill you.
Yeah,
yeah, including Xanax and a bunch of stuff that I've heard of before. I don't know what they do. But I've literally seen a bunch of studies and a bunch of documentaries to where somebody's taking 30 drugs and starts ingesting cannabis and gets rid of all the drugs.
All of them.
Every last one of them.
My dad.
And to get, what's wrong with your dad?
So my dad, he has double knee replacements that he's done twice now.
Oh, jeez.
His neck is fused, which is just a nice way of saying they take plastic and bone mass and literally weld his neck
mm-hmm.
so that it's solid and he can't move his neck left or right, up or down. and then his lower spine is being held together by titanium rods and screws and some stainless steel rods. So he's a medical, he's just a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on 35, 40 pills a day. All these different opiates and benzos and pain reliefs and, you know, something to help him wake up in the morning.
You can't function, you can't shit.
And that's the thing. He can't go to the bathroom. Nope. He can't do none of this.
No.
So about 7 years ago, I begged him. I said, Dad, listen, I'm going to make you something. It's going to have cannabis in it. If it doesn't work, I'll never give it to you again. And he was the ultimate skeptic.
There's a lot of them out there.
It's dope. It makes people dopey, Joey. What the hell you want to do that for? Come on, man. You got 9 years of college and you're smoking that shit. And I'm like, come on, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. So I gave him some Caramels because he has a sweet tooth and he loves his yummies.
Yeah.
Gave him a Caramel, cut it into fours. I said, here, try this. I gave him a quarter. He took a quarter, didn't feel anything, took another quarter, and all of a sudden the first quarter kicks in.
Yeah.
For the first time in almost 40 years, he's out of pain for 7 hours.
Wow.
Like 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So now he goes from sleeping 1 to 2 hours a night to sleeping 6 to 7 hours a night. Now he goes from being blocked up and everything to going regularly because he starts to take less and less opiates. Now he's taking zero.
Zero opiates.
Zero opiates.
And his life is so much better.
The only thing my mom hates because he's chasing her around the house again.
Yeah.
Come on, he's my dad. Hey, he's going to do that.
That's right. I ain't mad at him. I'm going to try to chase until I die. That's for sure.
Amen.
Now, have you ever get into the politics of cannabis? You know, we've talked about the rules and the regulations and how they've been altered in the last few years. There's been a lot of changes here in Florida. You ever get into the lobbyist part of it? I mean, when I look into it sometimes, it's pretty disgusting.
It's absolutely disgusting.
It is.
The fact that, I mean, I can go on so many different levels, the absurdity of this plant.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally like outlawing spinach and broccoli.
Mm, it's getting pretty close.
I mean, if you think about it, spinach is not as good for you until you heat it up. Very much like cannabis.
Yeah.
The nutrients aren't activated until heated.
Yeah.
The only thing is that cannabis will make you feel happy and euphoric. Something that everybody in this world can take a little bit more of.
God forbid you feel good.
I know, right? Not only that, I've noticed, I've seen people who have different political views, different issues on many different levels.
Mm.
You get them around cannabis, you get cannabis involved, and you see that nonsense, that garbage, just start to dissipate.
Yeah.
People start to become more in tune to each other, more tolerant. You have more of a relaxed, you have more of a relaxed energy about yourself.
Sure.
And cannabis users as a whole, I've noticed in my 40, almost 9 years on this planet, that they're just more willing to listen to people.
Understandable.
It's so much easier just taking the time to get to know somebody. You actually got to take the time to get to know somebody.
Correct.
Talk to them, man. Yeah. If somebody's pissed off, I can guarantee you they're having a shitty day.
Mm-hmm.
Let them hit your pen a couple of times.
Yeah.
Guarantee that day's going to get a little bit better.
A little bit better.
Yeah.
And there's still people out there that don't smoke, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's the ones that are funny that he's like, oh, you can't smoke. Like, that's old now. That's old now. Stop it.
But I got people who are sitting there with a freaking bottle of scotch, and they're polishing off half a bottle of scotch.
And a Xanax.
And they're, taking a Xanax to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And giving me shit about taking a dab.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you, hypocrites.
How dare you.
Like, really?
No doubt.
And here's another thing. As a grown person, I don't like to be told what to do.
Correct.
Who the hell am I to tell another grown man or woman what he or she can do if it is not doing anything but helping them?
Understandable.
Have you ever heard somebody kill his entire family in a marijuana-induced rage?
Never.
Nope. Have you ever heard domestic violence due to marijuana?
Nope.
Never.
Nope.
Ever.
Never.
I can go on. This is.
If you talk about marijuana deaths, you could Google it. Ain't nothing coming up.
You can drink water and drink yourself to death.
That is
fact.
True.
Take 20 aspirins, last headache you ever have. You cannot. Now you have to smoke 150 joints per hour
for
11 hours straight.
Yeah.
Dude, that's just not possible,
that ain't
man.
Gonna happen. You're
gonna smoking
go
two joints
that.
A minute?
Yeah.
What do you got, a freaking blower?
Yeah, I think Snoop tries. I think he definitely tries.
I think I've tried. I just...
No doubt.
No.
No, let me give some love to another one of the sponsors that we have, Tetra Health Centers. Tetra Health Centers is over there on Martin Luther King. And when you talk about the process of getting your medical marijuana card, I went through it. You have to go to a doctor first. So I'm going to try to teach you the way to do it the right way. So you go to Tetra Health Centers over there on Martin Luther King. You see their doctor. You tell them what your ailment is. They give you your card, or you apply for your card, then you get your card, and then you go to Trulieve. It's really pretty darn easy. So hit them up over there at Tetra Health Centers, 813-898-8009. And they have the best doctors there. And
they really do. I love them.
They're really good people.
You great know what people. I
mean? And then you go to Trulieve, and Trulieve just has, they have all the bomb, you know, products with their Trulieve stick and all that kind of stuff like that. Definitely keep you right. And then we also talk about the government and the lobbyists and stuff. And then I got to watch commercials, get baked, drive baked, get busted. I mean, you know how much money they put into that? You know how much money Florida put into that? $5 million. We can't pay teachers. We put $5 million in stupid ass commercials about drive baked, get busted.
Here's my thing. If a kid's sick, they will give them any prescription that they can think of.
Mm-hmm.
They give 11 and 11-year-old kids Oxycontin in bubble gum flavor.
Yeah.
Think about this, man. Mm-hmm. And there's places that will literally service this and service opioids, a place that rhymes with Schflublix.
Okay.
Okay. A grocery store that has a pharmacy that rhymes with Schflublix.
Yes.
They'll put money against cannabis, which is a non-toxic plant compound that cannot kill you. And I'll give you the science on that in a second, but it can't harm you in any way, shape or form. And yet they'll push freaking every type of pill that they can push.
Sure.
And they're a great company.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that whoever's in charge is misled and not informed. And that's where the key is.
It's money though. I think a lot of them are informed. They're making decisions. And I love them. I love Schmublix. It's a good,
it's an awesome
product. but a lot of times they make, you know, decisions from money though. You know,
cannabis is such a moneymaker. It is so good for the ecology.
Yeah, it is.
It's just incredible. The plant between cannabis and hemp, it is so good for the soil. It pulls out all the nasty shit out of the soil and helps to replenish the soil with nutrients.
Sure.
Unlike so many other plants that just strip the nutrients.
Most of the other plants, no doubt.
Yeah. It's the way it grows, how many things we can get from it. It's endless. Textiles, plastics, all of these things can be made biodegradably.
Hemp.
Out of hemp.
So much stuff.
Hemp has, you know, 15 to 25% CBD. And it's you can't think of something between building houses, making our clothes.
It's really,
it's really
a miracle plant.
It's a miracle plant.
It's a miracle plant, and people have been fighting for a long time.
That makes no sense.
Now, you brought up dabs, and I've never participated. Now, explain it to me a little bit. Once again, is this going to be, can I dab with this
you
right
now? You can absolutely dab with that. That is beautiful and clear, and I could almost guarantee that that's not decarbed.
It's not.
Just by the look of it, I'm going to say it's not.
Okay.
It's light and it's beautiful.
You still can dab with this.
Oh, yeah. You can dab with either one. Decarbed, you can dab as well.
Okay.
Now, what's going to happen is that right there, remember, a grain of rice. That's all you're going to need.
Okay.
Nothing big on that because that's a monster.
So you're going to dab a grain of rice?
Grain of rice. That's all you need. That's it.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes. It's so concentrated. That grain of rice is going to be like taking like two bowls.
I've heard.
All in one little hit.
Yeah.
And don't hold it in.
Oh boy.
People with dabs
Axel Bronson holds it in.
He's a professional.
No doubt about it.
I bet you Snoop holds it in too.
Yes, he does. So what kind of instrument are you supposed to put this grain of rice in when you do that?
Usually they have a titanium or a quartz nail, and you'll either heat it up with what's called an e-nail, an electrical nail, that'll give you a very specific temperature, or some people will take a blowtorch and they'll heat the nail. And once it gets red hot, they'll let it cool down and then do the dab.
Seems like a lot, but...
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, and here's the other thing about dabbing that a lot of people don't know, and I love to do dabs, so I'm not going to, don't do dabs. That's just a bunch of crap. But at the same time, it gives you such a heavy dose of cannabinoids that a lot of times, especially when you do large dabs, you're overloading your endocannabinoid system. And it's not the best way for you. To put it in musical terms, it's like playing the piano and, you know, we got Prince, and Prince is on the piano and he's playing, you know, Purple Rain. and it sounds beautiful and you got this melody, or it's like, that would be taking, you know, little microdose, so taking a couple hits from your pen or a couple hits from a joint and putting it down. When you're doing a dab, it's like going to the church and going on to the electrical organ and just slamming on 20, 30 keys.
Really? So it, hits you like that.
That's what dabbing does, because it's so concentrated. It shocks your endocannabinoid system with the overdose. Not an overdose, excuse me. An overload. So unless you're in like severe pain or you're just a, you know, tremendously big pothead and you want to enjoy cannabis like a grown man or woman.
Or both. But one of these days, you got to come by and get me hip. I don't know what. But I mean, you seem to understand what you're doing. You get Uber here and then you come over here and we can enjoy ourselves a little bit. Definitely.
And I'm a, and anybody out there, listen, if you go to a place and you're going to consume cannabis, Uber there. Uber back. That's just be a grown up.
Just like alcohol.
Yeah, just like everything alcohol, else. Man.
And listen, the people that are scared of it, we should all be scared of all drugs and all medicine, and, because it all can be misused and abused. Every last one of them, every last bit of it.
Now, I learned from Dr. Barry Gordon out of the Compassion Cannabis Clinic in Venice Beach, Florida. And I did an event with him a couple of weeks ago. And to listen to him break down, to listen to a doctor, an ER doctor of 35 years, break down the fact of why cannabis, and this is something doctors can pick up on, and they'll know instantly that you're telling a fact. So what cannabis does is cannabis hits your CB receptors. So you have your CB1 and your CB2 receptors, your CB1 receptors in your brain. What alcohol, what opioids, what benzos, they hit your mu receptors. Your mu receptors are responsible for things like breathing, your heart rate, brain function, et cetera, et cetera. So cannabis can never shut down anything because it does not affect your mu receptors. That's why you can enjoy cannabis and
do anything.
Have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
You know, you can, and it's not going to put, it's not going to put you in a bad state. But if you have a glass of alcohol and you take a Xanax, both of those will affect your mu. That could shut your breathing down. Cannabis cannot. And that's the, one of the beauties of the plant. That's the thing, one of the reasons why you cannot overdose on this plant.
And it seems to open you up instead of shutting you down. Alcohol shuts you down.
Or it puts you in a worse mood.
Yeah, it puts you in a terrible mood. And people are, that's when people are committing suicide and doing a bunch of stupid
crap. They're getting in the fights.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Cannabis, like I say, it doesn't, it opens it up and maybe loosens it up a little bit. You know what I mean? It's like, alcohol is just raw. And like, I like to drink. I'm not going to lie to you.
I'm the same way.
You know what I mean? But it's just, it's such a different effect.
Have you ever drunk text?
I don't do that much.
I haven't done it much.
Yeah.
But I've done it before.
Yeah.
I've never high text ever. I've never
done it. No way. You think too much.
You're over-analyzing. Yeah. You're like, nah, I ain't doing that. Yeah. I don't know.
You're stupid. Worried about your
spelling. What the hell was I thinking?
Your spelling's got to be right. Yeah, drunk texts end up being very important. Like, when you drunk text, you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, no. Then you look at your phone, and you're like, oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I did not meet up with my boss.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I do not want to grab his butt. That was meant for my wife.
I think Donald Trump should smoke some more weed and stop drinking.
I think the entire staff.
Yeah.
Needs me to go there and make them a damn meal.
No doubt.
Especially Jeff Sessions. He's sitting there with a freaking with a glass of scotch talking about no good people smoke cannabis. He's out of his God-blessed mind.
Seriously.
Half the people he knows is just not telling him. Probably his kids.
Are
his kids old enough? Before I say that, because
make sure though.
Yeah, he
doesn't have young kids.
You never know.
No,
dude, I saw
that means he has a young girl, and that's not happening. That's not happening.
Dude, that guy is wound up so tight,
yes,
man.
He
needs to loosen his drawers.
And what's the girl's name with Sarah Huckabee with the big eye? She got that one big eye. That's because she don't smoke weed. She just smokes some weed and shrink down that one eye because it's huge.
You know what happens, man? It literally. It makes you take a deep breath and look around and going, okay, am I acting like an ass?
Yeah.
Am I acting like an ass because I don't want to have to apologize?
Correct, yeah. And I've been around a bunch of people smoking weed, and it's really peaceful. And when you're around a bunch of people drinking, sometimes you just, and especially if you're not drinking, that's the worst thing in the world.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if I'm not drinking, I'm around people drinking, I'm like, God dang it, I'm never going to drink again. I suck when I drink. You know? Because everybody sucks when they drink.
Of course.
Everybody.
And you still
breathing all up on somebody and like you said, come on, man. That's crazy.
You ever speak Chewbacca when you drink?
I spoke in a lot of things. I get fluent in French again when I start drinking. And when I'm sober, I can't speak a lick of French. But when I'm drunk, I could speak it.
That's, you know, nice. What I mean?
That's definitely.
When I'm drunk, dude, I get quiet as hell.
Yeah.
You get a head nod and a wink.
Yeah.
How you doing, John?
That's it. Head nod and that's
it. I don't want to slur.
Yeah. When you smoke a little something, you start philosophizing. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we had Chef Joey Galliano, fellow weedologist, chef extraordinaire. I was over there at Newport Richie with Magical Butter. He made me some Philly cheesesteaks.
Oh, yeah.
Infused. And I made it right to the bottom of the veterans where I realized that I better get home quickly because it was starting to creep up on me a little bit. And I got to my headquarters here, and I think I DJed for about 3 hours wearing it off. So it definitely worked. That's for sure. Well, brother, I appreciate your knowledge.
Thank you, man.
And if anybody wants to get in contact with you, social media, how can I get you?
At Chef Joey Galliano. That's Galeano. That's on
Twitter.
No, that's on Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Insta Space.
Insta, yeah.
Joseph Galliano on Facebook and at Chef Joey MB on Twitter.
Beautiful.
On the tweets.
And I'm at Ian Beckles, IanBeckles. If you guys ever want to check me out social media wise, if you want to email me, IanBeckles@radioinfluence.com. If you have any questions about cannabis or any of my guests, or you need any information, I also have two other podcasts, Flavor in Your Ear and also In the Trenches, which we talk a lot of football. So, Chef Joey, I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me.
We're going to do this again.
Yes, sir.
And I need you to cook me some delicious meats.
I was about to say, next time I'm coming cooking.
Yeah, it's on. It's on next time for sure. I appreciate everybody listening out there. Big ups to Tetra Healthcare Centers, 2814 Martin Luther King. Check them out for your doctors and my people at Trulieve. They're the ultimate when you're going to get your products and you want to get the best products. You got to check them out at trulieve.com. Everybody have a wonderful week and please be safe. Peace out.
Peace.
For more information on medical cannabis, make sure to visit Trulieve on Twitter at Trulieve or trulieve.com. That's TRULIEVE.com. Also, make sure to follow Ian Beckles on Twitter at Ian Beckles. This has been the Cannabis Podcast, powered by Trulieve on Radio Influence.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick fix on Radio Influence.
There's a dossier on everything. Just like we talk about scouting reports, you hear me talk about scouting reports on players, same things happens with players. So there's a file on a player. And you know what type of injuries that they had coming into the league, work habits in the training room and in the weight room to rehab and prevent injuries, that has a factor. If you have a lot of hamstring pulls, for example, you better look at your strength and conditioning program. They're doing something wrong to have this many hamstring pulls. Blowing out a knee, it's usually very, you know, there's really nothing you're doing in preparation necessarily to cause that. Now, let me say this. When you don't train well, and everybody trains well, but everything's relative, right? The best training you have to get prepared your body for the season is a 10, and you got somebody that is at an 8 and somebody that's at a 6. The guys that are at a 6 are more likely to have more injuries because one injury can affect another.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.